think.
Introducing Rosetta Stone FitBrains, an award-winning personalized brain training program designed to stimulate and improve six important areas of your brain in just a few minutes a day. Designed by a leading neuroscientist, Rosetta Stone FitBrains delivers the highest quality, most comprehensive brain training games available anywhere. And right now, you can try it free by calling 1-800-500-4787. If your brain could always operate at its full potential, imagine the benefits for your work, your social life, or simply for your personal well-being. Go ahead, try Rosetta Stone FitBrains for free by calling 1-800-500-4787. Put your brain to the test and compare your scores with others for free. Call 1-800-500-4787.
The $100,000 Big Draw is back. Earn cards the first four Fridays in January. Then join Argosy Casino Alton for drawings every Sunday. You could win up to $100,000 cash.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rail, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
Thank God it's Friday!
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Oh, are you blowing something up?
I'm just inflating the radio so this is proper pressure.
Oh. Yeah, we had Frank had a problem with tire pressure yesterday, and he got called.
Yeah, I do not want to be called in for having the wrong air pressure in the show. There's already enough pressure being on the air. I don't need air pressure. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me, still sporting their cool tans from their vacation in Cancun a week ago. Everybody okay?
Oh, yes. Yeah, heck yeah. I want to go back.
I can't imagine why. Although it's not bad outside. It's, you know, 40s.
Right.
We'll take that at this point in January.
Yes.
We have a lot of stuff to get to on the show today. I'm going to have an interview in the second half hour of this hour with a woman who directed a terrific documentary that's going to be on Channel 9 on Tuesday night about Thomas Alva Edison. I did not know how many things this guy invented. He has 1,000 inventions that he patented. 1,000. I've never invented anything.
No.
I you know, I've come up with some interesting stuff to talk about on the radio. You can't patent that.
No.
1,000 things. If he had just said, okay, I gave you light. I gave you the electric light bulb. I'm going back to bed. I would not say, hey, come on, do more. I would have said, that's fine. You did that. You've given your contribution to the earth, but unbelievable. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, and then we'll get to Bill Cleveland and Mike Evans and the Harris Challenge and knuckleheads in the news and all that a little bit later on. I do want to start by talking about this Patriots deflated ball thing, because the NFL came out with a statement today that essentially says, we're looking into whether or not we should look into this anymore, because we looked into it and we decided that looking into it wasn't really going to be in the best benefit of us. We're not good at looking into things, as we prove with the Ray Rice thing, unquote. That's the statement. I have it right here from the NFL. No, they say that they've talked to 40 different people, including Patriots personnel, game officials, and third parties with relevant information and expertise. Who are they?
Well, then, was that the NFL, too, that said, well, all the deflated balls were used in the first half?
Yes.
All the balls used when they scored 28 points and
in the second half
and took the game away, those were all inflated properly.
They were inflated. We measured them at halftime, and we measured them after, and they remained properly inflated. That's the phrase they use. I'm reading it from the statement here.
Hmm.
And so they don't know what happened in the first half. And Tom Brady doesn't know what happened in the first half.
No, nobody seems to know.
Bill Belichick has no idea.
As far as I know.
And meanwhile, somewhere in Foxborough, there's an assistant equipment manager whose name we will never know, who today cashed a very large check.
I'll bet you it's Jenkins.
No, Jenkins would screw it up.
Oh, okay.
Jenkins would be in the back. And why are balls exploding back here? You said to overinflate the ball. No, we said underinflate. I got a question for you. What's the difference between Boston and St. Louis? The difference is that during a Patriots game, the balls are deflated. During a Rams game, the fans are deflated. Thank you. Thank you very much. Nowhere in this statement does it say that one of the 40 people they talked to is Tom Brady, who would have been the guy who would have told whoever it was who was in charge of the footballs, here's how I like them. And let's start right there. In what other sport does a participant in the sport get to decide the key piece of equipment and how it's going to be treated?
Well, and what other sport, like hockey, has pucks? And the pucks are over with the officials.
Yeah.
And baseball, the umpires have them. And they're mudded up before they give them.
MLB-licensed mud.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
You could probably buy that at any gift store.
In the NBA, the refs are in charge of which ball we're going to use.
You would think, yes.
Yeah.
Even in a pickup basketball game. You get six guys together at the gym or on the court in the nice weather.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a couple of different guys use a ball. What happens? Everybody practices. You're all shooting around. All right, you pick up team. All right, you three against us three. Okay, all right, here we go. Which ball are we going to use? Everyone gets together. You do the ball bounce test. Well, that one bounced higher. Let's use that one.
Yeah.
And everybody goes, yep, that's our ball. And then the other ball is put out of play.
Yes.
Everyone involved decides
agrees
what ball you're going to use. Here, oh, no, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson,
Each team has
scup
their,
this one
each
up,
team has their set of balls.
Well, yeah, that Brad Johnson came out the other day and said he paid $7,500, I think, to have his balls scuffed up for a playoff. Was it playoff or Super Bowl game?
Super Bowl, when he was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Did he say who he paid? I can't remember in the article.
Somewhere, an assistant equipment manager is cashing
in.
Wow. I did read this today. This is written by a guy at Slate by the name of Mike Pesca, who says he makes a couple of good points. One is that the punishment for this is probably going to be $25,000.
Yeah.
Which is 0.2% of Tom Brady's annual salary. So we're not talking about a lot of money for an organization in the Patriots that, you know. I mean, that's about the same amount that Marshawn Lynch got fined for grabbing himself during the game last weekend after he scored the touchdown. And just on a side note from that, a friend of mine said, what if you are a football player and you've got a little itch problem down there? Well, and you're going to have to scratch or grab yourself. I said, well, it's like when you're a lineman going in as an eligible receiver. You have to report to the referee.
Yes.
Just in case you guys see me grabbing myself, I have an itch problem.
Excuse me,
ref.
Have
one of the trainers do it. They don't know if you're stretching out your groin or...
Excuse me, ref.
Get in there deeper.
How lazy are you if you're having somebody else do that, take care of that scratch for
well,
you?
I have an irritating itch, ref. Can I... Yeah, go ahead.
Number 63 has reported in as a crotch itch. This announcement brought to you by Cruex. You know, we're talking about how lazy the players are. Remember, I can remember a time when a player went to the sideline and picked up his own water bottle and squirted water in his mouth.
Oh, no, not anymore.
Now the assistant equipment manager runs right over there and squirts it through there, which I would find frustrating as the squirtee. Because you know that... There's a certain percentage of the time he's not getting the stream right in the mouth, right? It's going like, all over his face. And
it's like any bar in Mexico you go to or any cruise you go on in Mexico. They're holding that tequila bottle up and squirting it in your mouth.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right. So Mike Pesca also makes this point, which is the opposite of what I was saying before. But he says this extremely important piece of equipment, the NFL football, is not like a doctored baseball, which can be scuffed or globbed with an outside substance to achieve more motion and thereby deceive an opposing batter. A football is not like a baseball bat, which can be corked to affect the flight of the ball. A football is not even like a soccer ball or a basketball, which are used by both teams and therefore could affect the pace of play to the point where it could conceivably disadvantage one side. He says a football is more like a baseball glove, which you break in, you beat up, you wear down. Over the course of your career, you probably use the same glove year after year after year. Maybe it's your lucky glove. Maybe it's the one that fits right. You break. I remember when I was a kid, when I got my first real baseball glove, bringing it home. My dad bought me that can of baseball glove oil. You put that in there. You rub that in there. Oh, yeah. Get that in there.
Oh, yeah, try catching a ball right off the shelf.
You can't. No, you can't. You got to get it right. Then you get a baseball. You put it in there. You put rubber bands around it. You put it under your mattress. It's got to be pressure on it. And you wake up in the morning. You put it on. Oh, it's not quite right yet. Oh, it's going to take a couple of days, son.
Yes.
Every father of a baseball child has had to do that. So he says it's kind of like that. But I disagree. Because we're talking about a professional sport with professional equipment that all should be standardized. Why should one quarterback get to have the football his way and the other quarterback gets a different football to use his way? It's already silly enough to me that they use a third football for kicks. I didn't know that there was, until this year, I didn't know there was a special kick ball.
No.
Yep.
On the field that they use, so...
I didn't know until this whole debacle here with the deflated balls.
Yeah.
They do all that.
I didn't either. That's where I learned about it. So, as you pointed out, 28-0 in the second half. Plus, Brady handed the ball off three times for touchdowns, and that didn't involve deflated or inflated or anything.
No.
The Colts only scored 7 points with their ball, which I assume was the way Andrew Luck wanted it. So even if you, do you think they're going to change the rule next year? Think the NFL after this is going to say, okay, we're now going to have the referees in charge of the ball from the moment we get the delivery at the stadium to the moment the game starts. No team will be able to touch the ball. We won't have the home team bring us any. I don't know.
Do they have to go through the Players Association to agree on that?
They probably have to go through the Rules Committee. This thing actually was changed back in 2006. Because people like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and others complained about it. It was passed unanimously by the Rules Committee. And you know who was on the Rules Committee at the time? Jeff Fisher, who at the time was the Tennessee Titans coach. And he said changing it so that the quarterbacks can use their own footballs, essentially, is, quote, a comforting factor for the quarterbacks, unquote. Because if there's one thing we don't want, it's uncomfortable millionaires playing sports in America.
I'm happy.
So
Jeff Fisher's a very defensive-minded coach, which is odd.
Well, so why would he want to give the offense?
Yeah, I know. I don't get it. I don't get any of it. But the Patriots, remember, they were involved in the video gate.
Oh, yeah.
Where they were videotaping.
Well, that's why everybody is so quick to assume that they absolutely did this. Oh, Belichick and Brady? Cheaters.
Yep.
They definitely did that. They cheated on us. They spied on us. They spied on the, I think it was the Jets was the other team.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one that they had to pay the fine for. So, of course, yeah. Cheater, Patriot eater.
I believe it.
That's how most people look at this.
I can't stand the Patriots.
I think it's ironic that they are caught up in a controversy about a ball with Wilson on the side instead of concentrating on a man with Wilson on his jersey who they have to play against in 9 days in the Super Bowl. So a couple of other quick sports things here that I have to mention. One, I'm a big tennis fan, and the Australian Open is going on now.
I've been watching some of it.
Have you? It's nice because it starts in prime time. Kind of like 8 o'clock at night on ESPN because of the time difference in Melbourne. So, I don't know if you saw this, but on Wednesday night, Rafael Nadal played an American guy named Tim Smyzek.
I missed Nadal's match. I saw Federer.
This guy Smyzek, Federer last night, losing. He played horribly, and then seemed like he was going to come back and catch up and ended up losing in four sets. But Smyzek is from Milwaukee. He's ranked 112th in the world, So when he gets out on the court, okay, let me see who I'm playing today. What? Rafael Nadal?
I know.
All right, well, this will be my last match. Yep. Although the guy who beat Federer was unranked
Book
as well.
Those tickets.
Yeah, it happens. Mom and Dad, I know you wanted to come and see me play in the Australian yes. Open. You may just want to get the room for two nights.
There was somebody that was unranked, and I can't remember. It was a few years back, too, unranked, and they made it to, like, the quarterfinals.
The quarters. It happens. Yeah, you know, the big stars don't win everything. Most of it, but not everything. So, anyway, this guy, Tim Smyzek from Milwaukee,
anyway.
Thank you, is playing against Rafael Nadal. My wife's future ex-husband.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She's smitten with Nadal?
Yeah. Well, she's going to marry him after she marries Benedict Cumberbatch. But that's, let's not get into my personal life here too much. So they're playing, and it goes to the fifth set. And this guy's playing unbelievably well. He's playing equal to Rafael Nadal, arguably one of the top two or three tennis players in the world. And they're in the fifth set, and Nadal is ahead 6-5, 30-love, which means if he gets two more points, he wins the whole match.
Yeah.
And so Rafa is serving, and as he throws the ball up in the air, a fan in the stands yells something out that's so audible you could hear it on the TV broadcast. And Nadal still hits the ball, but he hits it way long. And his opponent, Tim Smyzek, turns to the umpire and says, give him two serves.
Really?
Yeah. Like do-over on that one. That's okay.
That was a...
Now, he's down 6-5, 30-love.
But that's unbelievable.
In the biggest match of his life. That's exactly right.
And not letting the umpire doing that first and telling the umpire to give him two serves.
I don't think the umpire would do that.
Probably not.
So Nadal gives Smyzek a thumbs-up sign and a small wave, and several members of Nadal's team who are there in the stand, they give him a standing ovation. And afterwards, when they go to do the on-court interview with Nadal, he says, look, before you say anything to me about how I played, I want to congratulate Tim, who's a real gentleman for what he did in that game. Not a lot of people would do that at 6-5 in the fifth set. And then afterwards, in the locker room, the other reporters were asking him questions, and all he wanted to do was talk about it and say that what he did at the end of the fifth set is just amazing. He's a great example what he did today. And then they went over and they interviewed Tim Smyzek, and he said, well, I know my parents would kill me if I didn't do stuff like that. But that's classy. That's the classiest.
Very classy.
Here we are, we're talking about cheaters in sports, and here's a guy who's just... rising above it. He ended up losing the match, although he played very well. When he gave Nadal that next chance, he lost that next point because Nadal hit a great serve. He lost that, so now Nadal's up 40-love. Smyzek then wins the next 3 points to get it back to deuce, so they're tied up, but then Nadal goes on to win the thing. I mean, the guy played unbelievably, so he certainly has moved up in the rankings, and a lot of people who'd never heard of him. Tim Smyzek is his name from Milwaukee.
Oh, and he got, you know, how much respect he got from the entire tennis world.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe some endorsers were paying attention. Hey, this is the kind of guy we want on our team.
Yeah.
And then here's something you would probably be interested in because you play hockey. Do you watch a lot of hockey on TV?
Yeah, as much as I can.
The NHL has signed a deal with GoPro. You know, the people who make the tiny little cameras,
right?
Wearable cameras. This weekend, All-Star Weekend, at both the skills competition tomorrow and at the All-Star game on Sunday, they're going to have players wearing GoPro cameras with little tiny transmitters on them that they will use as part of the TV broadcast.
Oh, wow.
Really?
I think they must be attaching them to their helmets, right?
I mean, yeah,
I would think so.
You couldn't put it on their chest because, you know, you get one body check, and there goes the camera.
Yeah, it's got to be on
the helmet. Those things are pretty durable, though, too, those GoPros.
Are they?
Yeah.
I've never used one. The only time I've really seen it is when I go on YouTube and I watch these skiers the people flying in the wingsuits the daredevils who use them. But I think it would be so cool to be able to get the player's perspective as they're skating down the ice and getting checked. And in particular, how about having the goalie's perspective? I don't think people appreciate how difficult it is to be a goalie in the NHL with the puck moving that fast.
Oh, yeah.
Plus all these guys in front of you, you got to keep track of who has the puck, where is the puck, did that guy tip the puck, and now you're going to be able to get first-person perspective on that, which is going to, I guess, make it like whatever video game there is. Well, I don't know what the best video, like, is there an NHL equivalent of Madden for NFL?
Yeah, I think so, but I don't
know. Oh, NHL. Yeah, it's just called NHL.
Just called NHL
15 or whatever the year is. Yeah.
Okay, it's not like Brodeur NHL.
No. Lemieux. Lemieux 15.
Yeah. Gretzky NHL or something like that.
I think it'll be cool, but I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of people that will say they don't like it.
Why?
Because it'll take away the entire ice from everyone. It'll have that perspective of just that player.
But I don't think you're going to I don't think they would use it during regular play-by-play. I think they would use it during replays. You know, if you think about replay in the NFL, which uses it better than any other sport and has for several years, you don't see those individual sideline cameras until you see the replay. You see the long, wide shot of every play, and then when they go to the replays, that's when you see the sideline camera, the goal line camera, the end line camera, the high-up camera, and all that sort of stuff. I think that's what they will do with NHL games.
And the All-Star game is a good game to do it on because
no one cares.
No one really cares.
It's an exhibition.
And they're going to be giving each other trouble and giving each other crap, but not cussing and getting crazy. You know what I mean?
I know Brodeur is not in it. Is Elliott the other?
Yes, he was. He was not supposed to be in it, but the other starting goalie got hurt. So he was. I heard he was on vacation in Turks and Caicos.
Really?
They got the call that said, we need you in Ohio. Right? Oh, is it in Columbus?
All right. Now, thank you. I don't want to brag or anything, but I've been to Turks and Caicos many, many years ago. Went and did a radio show live from there. Which I'm up for anytime someone here wants to work it out, by the way.
I ordered that at Applebee's once. It's a good appetizer.
It is. Yeah. It's not bad with the pesto sauce.
Yeah.
So I would not come back from Turks and Caicos for anything work related. We need you back here Tuesday. I'm sorry. I'm here till Wednesday. But we really need you Tuesday. Sorry. You have to push whatever it is to Thursday. I ain't coming back. But he is going to come back and he'll play. And I was thinking about this, and I don't know anything about hockey. In the NHL All-Star game, isn't everybody taking shots? Like, aren't there like five times as many shots taken? I mean,
yes.
if you're the
very loose defense.
That's what I mean.
No,
there's not
checking.
A lot of checking in there. Is there any checking allowed?
High scoring. No, there is some checking, but not much. They're not out to hurt each other.
How'd you like that? Instead of getting maybe 20 or 22 shots per game, now, okay, how much? It's 84 shots per game. Per game.
That's more like it. Yeah, high-scoring affair.
Do they rotate different goalies in and out, or they're like...
I don't think he'll play the whole game.
Oh, okay, so he might play one period or something?
Right. Yeah.
All right, well, good for him. But I wouldn't come back from Turks and Caicos for that. Let's take a break. When we come back, I'll introduce you to the woman who directed this terrific new documentary about Thomas Alva Edison, arguably America's greatest inventor. Next on the Big 550 KTRS.
And we're going to get a look at traffic right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
All right, Dan. They're working with an accident on the North Outer Service Road on Highway 40, just north of Boone's Crossing. Looks like we've got a disabled vehicle. On westbound 270 before 370, also southbound 170, a little bit slow down from Forest Park Parkway down through Highway 40. And this traffic report brought to you by St. Louis Bread Company. Eat adventurously at St. Louis Bread Company with their new Asian-inspired broth bowls. Savor a lentil, quinoa, or soba noodle bowl, all under 410 calories. Stop by St. Louis Bread Company today to explore more. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
When storms rain down on the Midwest,
Metro St. Louis turns to KTRS.
When severe weather strikes, turn first to your official weather station.
The Big 550 KTRS. Depend on it.
Playing guitar in a rock band was the best time of my life. But like a dummy, I didn't wear earplugs. So I got this ringing in my ears called tinnitus. It screwed up my focus, my creative edge. I had trouble sleeping, and I had to keep asking people, "What? What'd you say?" It was awful. Until I discovered Ring-Away.
Ring-Away is the new fast-acting breakthrough designed with doctor-recommended ingredients to relieve constant ringing or buzzing. And right now, they're letting the public try it for free. Just call 1-800-400-3159 now while supplies last. The only product of its kind, Ring-Away is so powerful, it doesn't just relieve the ringing or buzzing. It actually supports ear health, too, so you can work and sleep in peace.
Ring-Away is amazing. I just wish I tried it sooner.
If you want the ringing to go away, call now to try Ring-Away for free. But hurry, this is an exclusive radio-only offer. Call now for details. 1-800-400-3159. That's 1-800-400-3159. 1-800-400-3159.
If you use a CPAP device for sleep apnea and you do all your sleeping at home, this message is not for you. However, if you like to travel for business or pleasure, you're going to want to hear about Transcend, the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It lets you sleep in total comfort anywhere. And free information is available now by calling minicpap.com at 1-800-600-7175. Transcend is as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Transcend is so small you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. This is our smallest, lightest, and most portable mini CPAP design ever. So if you travel, get the freedom to sleep anywhere you go. Call now for life-changing free information from minicpap.com. 1-800-600-7175. That's 1-800-600-7175.
What is Broadway Ford Truck Sales, you ask? For sales, service, parts, and rentals, there's only one that's the real deal, Broadway Ford Truck Sales. Hey, don't take my word for it. Here's someone who knows Broadway Ford Truck Sales inside and out.
Hi, I'm Terry Wojtowicz, sales manager at Broadway Ford Truck Sales. We are proud to be serving the St. Louis area since 1964. That's over 50 years of continuous sales, service, parts, rental, and long-term leasing. As a Ford Business Preferred Dealer, we specialize in Ford commercial vehicles, but we also carry the full line of personal trucks and SUVs. If you're in the market for a new or used truck, then Broadway Ford Truck Sales can help you. Stop by or give us a call at 314-241-9140 or online at BroadwayTruck.com.
Stop by Broadway Ford Truck Sales at 1506 South 7th in the Soulard Market Area. Check them out on the web at BroadwayTruck.com or give them a call at 314-241-9140. A proud member of the Ford Business Preferred Network.
Cheap and fast may work for a quick lunch or a haircut, but what it doesn't work for is floor covering. Listen to that voice that's telling you that what sounds too good to be true is a mistake. Instead, when it's time for new flooring, do it right the first time. Call a member of the Flooring Industry Council, whose install floor layers have 4 years of classroom and hands-on training in all types of flooring materials, backed by companies with decades in the business and extensive experience working for St. Louis's leading businesses and homeowners. Cheap and fast may be okay for a cup of coffee and a donut, but it doesn't work for floor covering. For a list of contractors who will leave you with the assurance that you made the right decision, contact the Flooring Industry Council. Call 314-968-3522 or visit ficstl.org. Again, that's 314-968-3522 or ficstl.org.
Do you remember a time when there was a market on every corner? Those days are long gone, but some of those family markets still exist, like Menino's Market in Cottleville. It's on the corner of Highway N and Highway N, catty corner to St. Joseph's Catholic Church. You want fresh produce. You want catering. You want fresh, warm French bread every single day? Menino's Market. Check it out. And don't forget about their holiday pies. Menino's Market for everything in Cottleville on the corner of Highway N and Highway N, Menino's Market.
Mizzou fans, Lion's Choice has been a tradition since 1967. Stop by today and enjoy our mouth-watering turkey and ham sandwiches, or even try an Italian beef. Lion's Choice. Get real.
For your real estate needs, you need the K Bova Selling Team, now powered by RE/MAX Properties West. Make your realty dreams a reality. Find the K Bova Selling Team at sellingstlewis.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. That group is called Edison Lighthouse, which is a perfect introduction to this next segment. Because on Tuesday night, Channel 9 and other PBS stations around the country are going to be running a terrific documentary about Thomas Alva Edison, arguably America's greatest ever inventor. And here is the woman who wrote and directed that documentary, Michelle Ferrari. Hi, Michelle. How are you today?
Hi. I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me. I was saying earlier in the show that I'm stunned by the fact that this man who we all know created the electric light bulb also created some thousand other things that he ended up patenting and kind of tossing into the world. So when you're making a documentary, how do you say, okay, we're going to do the light bulb and we're going to do these two or three others because we only have a couple of hours here?
Well, in point of fact, he has over 1,000 patents, but they're not for 1,000 different things. Our patent system awards patents for minor improvements in any device.
Ah.
So a lot of those patents are for similar spin-off type inventions. That said, he's an extraordinarily prolific inventor, and taking on the challenge of telling his story was quite daunting. This is a man who left behind 5 million pages of documents, which a revolving group of scholars at the Thomas Edison Papers Project at Rutgers University has been working since 1978 to catalog, publish, digitize, what have you. And at the same time, he was extraordinarily famous in his lifetime. So the first full-length biography was written when he was 31. And since then, there have been 75 others. One of my interviewees recently estimated that there were well over 1 million words dedicated to the life of Thomas Edison, and I had to render that in 42 pages, which is 15,000 words.
Well, you did a very good job with it. I'm curious about one part of the electric light bulb story, which, talk about revolutionizing the world. Before that, people had to have candles or gas lamps. And as one of your narrators in the movie points out, that meant open flames in the home. And here was this new invention that not only allowed people to completely change their lifestyles, but change how everything worked in their lives. Were there other people who were doing this before Edison who were close, but he just beat them to the punch?
There were a great many people who were doing it before Edison. In fact, the very first incandescent light bulb was patented 6 years before Edison was born. But he had a very good understanding of electrical laws, and he was very tenacious, and he kept at it until he solved it, which a lot of his predecessors and contemporary competitors just didn't do. They couldn't figure out how to develop a filament that would burn for a long time without burning up.
So they could do something there, so the light would be on for maybe a couple of minutes, and then it would
exactly.
burn out?
15 seconds, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, and then it would burn out. And he was the one who figured out that you needed a combination of a carbon filament and a high vacuum bulb.
So there were other people who were doing this at a time well before the information age. How would they all find out what the other one was doing? How do you keep, in the internet age, obviously you can keep track of your competitors by setting up a Google News alert so that anytime they do something, you know instantly. How do you do that in the late part of the 19th century?
You do a lot of patent research. In fact, when Edison undertook the challenge of the light bulb and the electrical power grid, his investors insisted that he hire someone to do research on all the work that had been done to date, so that all of that could be taken into account as he began his own research.
Did he like being famous?
I think that he enjoyed holding court. He loved to tell jokes and sort of shaggy dog stories, and I think he enjoyed interacting with people. There was a point later in his life where I think the fame maybe became a bit tiresome, but he guarded it jealously. As the film points out, at one point his son, his namesake, was using his name. He attached it to a fraudulent homeopathic medicine company, and Edison was very aware of the value of his name and basically convinced his son to change his name for business purposes in exchange for an allowance, a weekly allowance.
He paid his son to change his name?
Yes. His namesake.
Thomas Edison Jr.?
Thomas Edison Jr.
Wow.
What did he change his name to?
Oh, my gosh. I'm gonna blank on the name. Of
Bob Jenkins. Johnson.
Jenkins.
Jenkins.
Wow. And by the way, you don't have to say fraudulent and homeopathic. That's
yeah. Those are some big words.
That's pretty much the same thing. But when we talk about his competitors, what about Alexander Graham Bell? I mean, we're talking about the same era, the light bulb and the phone, aren't we?
Yeah, roughly. I mean, separated by a couple of years. Bell was a great spur to Edison. Edison sort of believed that competition was necessary to be a great inventor, that it spurred people on to better discoveries and more important discoveries. And so he was sort of overjoyed to be tasked with the challenge of improving Bell's telephone. And in the process of doing so, he developed a little carbon button transmitter that improved the sound quality and the volume of Bell's phone and essentially turned it into a commercially viable device. And while he was doing that work, he invented the phonograph.
Yeah, the first person to record the human voice, Thomas Edison?
The first person to record and play back the human voice.
Oh, sure. Hitting the record button is easy. Rewind
it's really
and play.
Easy. Yeah, sure, it recorded. I can't tell you.
Yeah, anybody can make that claim. Hey, I just recorded you. Oh, yeah? Prove it. Well, I can't quite prove it yet, but this guy Edison is working on the proving it part. And when that comes out, I mean, I know the legend from your documentary of him recording himself saying Mary had a little lamb, but from that point on, does the phonograph industry take off? Because here again, you have a guy who's inventing stuff that then has to create its own market, doesn't it?
Exactly, exactly. And in fact, Edison wound up putting the phonograph aside. He became entranced with the idea of electric light, and he put the phonograph aside, and he only picked it back up again when Bell and his nephew and another chemist came up with a better recording surface, and they were starting to market their phonograph, and Edison was like, nope, sorry.
That's mine. I'm the one who proved that. Remember, I played it back. I'm that
exactly.
guy. And so he quickly got everybody together at Menlo Park, and they came up with something better. And speaking of Menlo Park, you say in the movie that at one point when he's up and running, and he's got all these people working for him, he wanted a minor invention every 10 days and a big one every month. And he had these people in this 5,000-square-foot lab in Menlo Park and then built it out and had other buildings. Where did the money come from?
He had investors, and he had contracts with telegraph companies. You know, he began his career as an inventor for the telegraph industry, and he was constantly sort of spinning out new improvements on telegraphic devices. And so between, you know, successful patents and sales that he'd made to the telegraph industry and ongoing contracts to do research, he had a bit of capital. But he was always kind of scrambling to stay liquid.
Did money matter to him?
I think it mattered to him in the sense that he wanted to keep doing his work, but it didn't matter to him for its own sake.
Yeah. You know, in the documentary, you explain how it's one thing to invent the electric light bulb, but people can't use it unless they have electricity coming to their house. And so he was one of the first to build a distribution grid, an electric grid, if you will. And you also talk about other things he was involved in, like the first electric chair. We don't have time to get into all of these today, but I realized that this is the first time I've interviewed somebody about a subject that if their subject had not done what they did, my interviewee could not do what she does, because this guy invented the movie camera.
It's absolutely true. I mean, the thing is that I hope people take away from the film is that, you know, invention is a social process, and everybody is working from what's gone before and what's out in the ether at any given time. So although Edison did invent the movie camera in the United States, somebody else invented one in France.
Right. There were people who were ahead of him there, but he also really got it rolling here in the U.S. and built it out, and the documentary goes into details on that. A couple of other topics I got to ask you about, though, because I didn't hear any discussion of Tesla.
You're the first to ask me about Tesla. I'm so excited.
his name does not come up in the documentary. What was the relationship like there?
Well, Tesla worked for the Edison Company for a short time. And he, you know, had ideas, as young, brilliant men do. And Edison wasn't particularly interested in pursuing those ideas, which, if you spend any time learning about Edison, is not the least bit surprising. You know, he thought he was the best inventive brain around, and that was the end of the story. So Tesla left a little bit disgruntled, and that's really the gist of the relationship between Edison and Tesla. The blogosphere kind of has a different point of view on it, but in point of fact, there really wasn't any competition. There was no stealing. Edison's competition was with Westinghouse, who bought Tesla's patents. And I sort of felt like I needed to establish this aspect of Edison's personality where he's unwilling to accept other people's ideas early in the film. And there is a story in the film where he has a colossal falling out with his best friend in life because he will not accept this guy's ideas. And that seemed to me much more meaningful than him not accepting the ideas of an underling in his organization.
When you talk about Tesla going with Westinghouse or being involved with Westinghouse, there's actually an interesting story in the film about how Edison wanted DC and Westinghouse wanted AC, and AC ended up winning.
That's correct. AC is a much more efficient means of transmitting power over long distances, and Edison's system was DC-based, which basically would have meant that there would have been a power station every mile or two. So you can imagine what the world would look like, the electrified world would look like with a power station every couple of miles.
Not to mention that Bon Scott would have been the lead singer of DC.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a question. Back to the Tesla thing and Edison not accepting his ideas and everything. Did Edison have a big ego and didn't want someone else to get credit?
I don't know that it's that he didn't want someone else to get credit. I think he definitely had an ego, like most very successful people. He had an ego. It was his party, and he directed the research in the lab. And he gave his trusted lieutenants a lot of leeway. He definitely took a team approach to invention. But if he didn't think something was practical, it wasn't going to get pursued in his lab.
In the 80-plus years since his death, have we had another Edison in this country?
Well, I mean, I think the people who have been involved in computers and internet in terms of transforming our lives.
You think Steve Jobs would fit in that category?
I think Steve Jobs, Bill Gates. Definitely.
That was the end of the list, though.
Yeah.
It's a dot, dot, dot. It's an ellipse there.
There you go. the documentary is simply called Edison. It's going to debut Tuesday night on American Experience, a terrific series that airs on PBS all across the country and Channel 9 here in St. Louis, written and directed by Michelle Ferrari. Nice job on that, and thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
Let's see how traffic looks right now. Here's Tim Weiland.
All right, we've got a vehicle fire. It's a car in the ditch engulfed in flames on Old Highway 21 at Shady Valley. We also have a crash on westbound 44 just before Lindbergh. Sounds like there might be a vehicle fire in there, and the four right lanes are closed. Now, southbound 270 has some heavier volume now from 40 down to Doherty Ferry. Eastbound 40 downtown, slowing Busch Stadium to the Poplar Street Bridge. This traffic report brought to you by St. Louis Bread Company. Eat adventurously at St. Louis Bread Company with their new Asian-inspired broth bowls. Savor a lentil, quinoa, or soba noodle bowl, all under 410 calories. Stop by St. Louis Bread Company today to explore more. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Kind of like happy hour.
In the middle of your workday.
Don't be afraid.
The John Carney Show with Kara Sneed.
Weekdays at 1.
On the Big 550.
Streaming live at KTRS.com.
Hi, this is John Shea, Mr. Fix-It, with some good news for our listeners. How many of you listening have an old TV or bulky entertainment center taking up valuable space in your home? Well, then you need to call Pitch It at 314-932-1100 and take advantage of their excellent service, as many of our listeners have. Pitch It provides a residential commercial junk removal service with very affordable rates. Their friendly staff at Pitch It will arrive at your location, remove your unwanted items, and you don't even have to lift a finger. They'll remove the item from your basement, your attic, anywhere they're located, and then clean up after themselves. Pitch It will provide free estimates. They'll visit your location on your schedule, not theirs, and provide you with a quote on the spot. Pitch It is an eco-friendly recycling most items within reason, and of course they are fully insured. So give them a call at 314-932-1100. That's 314-932-1100. Or visit their website at pitchitandforgetit.com. That's pitchitandforgetit.com. Senior discount supply.
Getting you up to date as you head to work.
McGraw in the morning.
Some say he's just a legend.
On the Big 550 KTRS.
Depend on it.
For over 30 years, Stefanina's has been serving delicious original family recipes brought from Sicily to America by founder Stefanina herself. Outstanding food, large portions, low prices, and great service in a family atmosphere has made Stefanina's one of the area's finest Italian restaurants. With four locations in St. Charles County and one in Chesterfield, Stefanina's is a place to go for everything from pizza and pasta to steak and seafood dinners that the entire family can enjoy. And now you can save even more with their daily specials. Call ahead or order online at stefspizza.com or dine in. But don't miss these savings.
Hey, pizza lovers, it's Friday. That means you can enjoy two large, two-topping pizzas for only $22.95 at Stefanina's. Call your local Stefanina's or Stefanina's Express location or order online at stefspizza.com. Two large, two-topping pizzas for only $22.95, just in time for the weekend at Stefanina's.
Tigers play here on KTRS.
Left side of the key to the free throw line. Right wing Clark, a three for the lead. Made it. Missouri leads it 44-43.
Tomorrow, the Razorbacks of Arkansas come to Columbia to take on Coach Kim Anderson and our Missouri Tigers. Coverage begins at 12:30 p.m. at the tip-off is at 1 on the Big 550.
Bang! He buried it.
KTRS. We are our Mizzou.
More Americans turn to ABC's Good Morning America. So how do you get to be America's number one morning show? Well, it helps to know what you want in the morning. And we know. Take it from Robin Roberts.
You want the news. You want it fast, first, and right on point.
Take it from George Stephanopoulos.
You want breaking news. News making exclusives.
Take it from Lara Spencer.
We know. You want it all now.
So go on. Tell them, Robin.
Put some good in your morning.
With ABC's.
Good Morning America.
Good Morning America.
Good Morning America.
News, weather, and traffic.
To get you to and from work.
The Big 550 KTRS. Depend on it.
News, weather, traffic, sports, and live local talk.
This is the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis.